I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
You are listening to the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by two of the smuggest blokes getting around on Supercoach social media. Today, I am joined by a man with big balls, but not quite as big as mine, SC Adrianosaurus, my friend. It was a very, very good Sunday for us both.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't have the big balls enough to put the captain on him. It was kind of, I did think about it a bit. I was like, well, look, he is a bit underdone. It is a good matchup, but he could re-injure himself and that could hurt. I just got too scared, really. And I really just commend the people that had the balls to just bring him straight in and captain him. It was never in question for me whether to bring him in because I liked the matchup and I think it was a smart enough gamble to just hope that he gets through the game unscathed. And I think he's a must-have. So that was why I went Harry Grant. I just thought that was a really juicy matchup. But look, I've had some green arrows. I'm not too far behind you. You've overtaken me now, and you've had a ripping week. I'd love to hear about your rank and stuff. But I've had some green arrows, and I'm happy with that. It's a good start. I've got Nico in there. I've got Cleary in there. I've got a nice set of halves, and I've had some green arrows finally, which I'm happy with.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we'll touch on every week we do the 10 big things we learned from the previous week, and one of them is about rank, and we'll touch on that. But, yeah, I guess on a personal level, really, really good. It sounds silly. But non-Nico owners should count themselves very lucky because I genuinely think 250 points could have been there. We had the Braden Hamlin-Ueli drop the ball over the line. 30 points for the try assist, line break assist. He'll kick the goal. So, yeah, 32, 33 points. Teague Wilton through the forward pass. So there's another 17 points with the try. And then you're going to have the goal kick for that. So there's another 23 points. We're already another...
When he got pulled off. Even I was an owner, and when he got pulled off the field before...
We're already at 230, and then the Sharks had three sets on the line of the Dragons, and the Sharks looked very clunky with no Nico there. So 250 points could have been on the cards. Look, as a captain, I cannot be too greedy. But yeah, look, it was nice to have a massive green arrow. We'll touch on our scores very shortly, but we're moving into around the league the last 7 days of big Supercoach news. Normally, I'm really scraping the barrel to get some news, but you know, the week that was gone by, we've had a lot happen. So, in terms of the injury front, we've got AJ Brimson out for 4 weeks. We've got Tulatau Kola looking like he's out with 4 to 6. We've got Jack Whiten out for 2 games with a suspension. Also worth noting, Jack Whiten has informed the Raiders that he's going to be testing the market. From
I couldn't give a rat's ass. Well, test the market. He's hopeless.
From my understanding, he had a year in his favor, so he could have opted to extend it. And I think he's on pretty good money, so his agent must be quietly confident if he is going to test the market. So
I don't know how he keeps getting all these rep honors. Oh, look, he's a fair defender, but he goes back to clubland, and we see him. He might run over for a try, but then he just goes missing for the whole game. I reckon the Raiders have got massive problems in their halves. And he's a running 5'8". I just reckon he's not a 5'8" at all. And it's like Suali'i going over to Union. I'm just sort of like, Jack, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, mate. Honestly, because it's not enough. He doesn't do enough. And I don't give a shit.
So we have the Supercoach Experience in the chat, and they have said, Whiten to the Sharks. So I think Jake might have got the login details tonight, and they've gone to say Sharks to win the comp. So I think Jakey might, be having the login details tonight.
I think I'd rather Moylan. I tell you.
So, yeah, Jack Whiten's looking like he's testing the market. Clint Gutherson is moving to centre, apparently. Parramatta Eels are looking for a game-breaking fullback, which is baffling when Gutho is...
Well, you hear it. They reckon it's going to be Jaden Campbell they might be interested in.
I mean, Gutho, depending on what you like from your fullback, you could argue Gutho's top five based off effort and, you know, what he does for the team. If you like a flashy fullback, yeah, Gutho's not your guy. But you've got two really good halves in Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses. I don't think Gutherson is your problem. So, yeah, I don't understand that one, but Eels each their own. Probably the best story of the week, Angus Crichton, back at training. You know, we love to see it. Some absolutely filth going around on social media with some of those screenshots. I'm sure many of you in the chat and listening have seen them. Discussing stuff from reputable sources. So it's fantastic to see that he's back. I think the Roosters are saying... give him 3 or 4 weeks to get his fitness back up, and then we could see him back on the park, which the Roosters, they are missing some quality forwards. So seeing Gus back would be, fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's one of the elite players in our game. He's somebody that I think even – I hate the Roosters, but I love watching Gus run around.
Even if you hate Gus, just from a personal standpoint, like if you hate Gus as a player, even like Gus as the person, like it's just great to see that – whatever he is dealing with is on the mend, which is fantastic. Isaiah Yeo re-signs with the Panthers. I wanted to put this in here because I wanted to give Isaiah Yeo raps. Now, he's not my Supercoach cup of tea, but I know he's very consistent and people, do like to pick him. I'm always wary of blokes signing contracts, but Isaiah Yeo is not the kind of guy that strikes me as the bloke that signs a contract and then pulls up stumps.
No, not at all. He's somebody that you can see every single week. He runs out with... pride. He should have pride written on his jersey. He's not going to shirk, even if it was on 200k a year. I don't think he'd play any different.
If he has pride in his jersey, I don't think he's signing with the Seagulls anytime soon. Moving on, Jeremiah Nenai. He is going to be missing 2 weeks with his suspension. Sean O'Sullivan is out for 12 weeks with his torn pec. That gives more. I don't think Katoa needed
by Milford.
Yeah, by Milford, of course. I don't think Katoa needed more security, but it's just, he has it now. It's unfortunate for Sauce, but yeah, Katoa's fine. And Tessie New looks like he's out for 4 weeks, so someone like a Jack Bostock comes into consideration. I've had a couple of questions around him, but 4 weeks gets you 2 price rises. Is that worth a trade in? I mean, best case scenario, Bostock makes what, 100k in 2 weeks? That's best case scenario. And then you're trading him out. So you're spending 2 trades on, 100K. Is it ideal? For me, no. But I can see the appeal if you're trying to find funds elsewhere. Let's move into the 10 things that we learnt from the week gone by. Shout out to you, my man. You wrote these because I had no motivation to write them. we have a few enormous ceiling blokes in Supercoach, and going a week without them could kill you. This reeks of... I don't know if we're being knee-jerky here off the back of, Hines is 180, but it does reek of, late 2021, when if you didn't have Hines, you didn't have Turbo, you didn't have Cleary, you go wrong with your captaincy, and you saw it this week. You went Grant, which was the safe, popular pick. Like, if you look back on it, Grant, I still think is a fine play, but when you have a guy that gets 180, it blows everything out of the water.
Yeah, definitely, and that's the thing too about Hines and Turbo. They don't even have a shit floor, so you never get burnt too hard if they don't go quite as well as they are. Cleary, Turbo, Hines, even Trell. I mean, Trell doesn't have he doesn't have too many huge ones in him. There's some of these 150, 180 is season changing, and that is why he's on the most traded in this week, because people don't even want to watch him for one single more week. And that's kind of why we said, get him. I wrote songs about it. I wrote a rap about it in today's TLT, trying to tell people just get him this week, even if he's got a buy.
Well, that was
plus, 150 plus again this week.
That was the same thing last week. That you and I were very much in the camp of, if you don't buy him last week, wait until the end of the buy. I am still of that opinion. But I was always thinking in my head, like, what score does he have to get to really throw a spanner in the works? If he came out and got, like, a 110 in his first game back, is that enough for people to rip their sides apart? 180, obviously people have rose-tinted glasses on, so they're going to be doing it, and I can understand why. I was very curious, sort of looking back on it, being like, shit, like, what was his cutoff for people to be like, oh, look, we'll just wait? 180 obviously blows way past that. I was probably in there.
He doesn't even look like he's going to lose money now. So you can, and if you've got a clear, if you've got a strong play when he's on the buy, I just reckon I mean, I'll get Hines in. I'm going to plan on holding him for the rest of the year. I mean, I think he's still a sneaky chance of maybe partnering Cleary in the halves in Origin.
Yeah. Shout out to the Rugby League Guru, who obviously we all know, who was famously against Nico Hines, came out, took his licks. And I think he said what you said. Like, Nico Hines, not only a gun, but at 900K, he is a cash cow.
Yeah, fuck hell, mate. Like, that's our, we were saying on last week's one, we haven't seen a big daddy, Karaz, yeah, but no one's going to captain him. Nico last week was a change maker because people did captain him, and his ownership was only 13% with 7% of people bringing him in. So it was such a pod move last week. It made such a big difference to the scope of the year. Yep, and that's what I like about the Guru. At times, he might put himself out there, but he's just wore it on the chin.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So good on you, mate.
And I guess that rolls into our next point. You know, one terrific captain score can really boost you up the ranks. We will touch on, you know, that. I guess it's probably more me we'll talk about here in terms of my team, because, you know, I rose 31,000 spots in 1 week. So, you know, we'll touch on that more in detail. But, yeah, one terrific captain can set you back. And, mate, we've said this for 3 weeks. Like, you and I have people in our DMs whinging and complaining about their rank. All it takes is for you to not own Cotter and he goes down. All it takes is you not own Tohu and he gets a poor score. Like, these sliding door moments so early on are what really dictate your rank. So that's the thing. Like, if you started with Garrick at the start of the season, like, if you started with Garrick in round one knowing he had the bye in round two when he turned up, of course you're getting it off to a hot start. Like, it's just, it's small things like this that will add up over time, but one big captain score definitely does boost you up. The New South Wales halfback combo could and should be Cleary and Nico. I think Nico is the kind of guy that doesn't need to be that dominating controlling seven like Cleary. Like, we saw Nico get like three offloads and take two hit ups in the first 10 minutes. So
I mean, he's definitely better than Luai. He won the Dally M last year and he started. I mean, there's only one game, but I reckon that could be the bloody halves. And if not, I still reckon he's. We thought he's a good chance for the 14. He's got to be a ripping chance for the 14.
Ripping chance for the 6 as well. I think you made a really good point there. Selling those bottom dollar cheapies, just be careful with them. They have no value and could kick off in money making. Someone asked me this today when it comes to Ben Murdoch-Masila. Bum. Absolute bum. But in saying that, he's playing 65 minutes. More minutes equals more attacking chances. And these guys at 200K, they fall over for a try and they make fucking 80K in 3 weeks. So, I mean, yeah, what value do you have selling them? I know some people are going to like a Matt Croker, but like, I wouldn't be selling Ben Murdoch-Masila for them. Like, it's almost like buying a stock, losing all your money, and then selling Ben.
Yeah, that's right. So you just sit there and you go, well, I made a fucking mistake and there's no one I can go to until I get some bank and I can do a big upgrade. People did that on Warbrick. He was on the most sold last week because it was a 30-30-16. And I'm like, he's got no value. Just, I mean, the week before it was all Cam Pereira because we had single digits. And I was like, and then he gets a big ton and he made good money. Well, I knew that if I was like, Munster's back in the team, there's a chance of some attack with Munster in there, surely. And then he gets his money kickstarted. We do just get a little bit ahead of ourselves sometimes. I still don't think that Ben Murdoch-Masila and Mo Ali will work out. But if there's no one better to go to, and even Matt Croker, he's 670K more. And I don't think it's a huge upgrade.
No, so, not when someone like Saifidi's back in 3 weeks. Like, yeah, so it's risky. We're getting closer and closer to a Saifidi return. Number five here, mate. I feel like you're taking a pot shot at me here. Miller wasn't even close to a trap, considering I called him one of the biggest traps in the preseason, but somehow started with him.
He wasn't as much of a trap as you thought. You were still willing to take a gamble over him, but you had the right points. You said, we don't have a great sample size. We don't love what we see from the Knights, and we haven't really seen more to his game other than a little bit of tackle break. But you can still go him or Meany or one of these other ones. You sort of ended up with him because we lost Marzu.
That was why, because I wanted a Knights back so badly. Marzu went down. But you're right, though. My criticisms of Meany, of Miller were not Miller himself, but that swap deal, it took so long to get through. And when it happened, that was when Ponga had the hamstring complaint. So Ponga basically sat out all of preseason. Miller was new to the club, and I just didn't think he'd gel enough with the combinations. But in saying that, though, his season has kind of gone the way I thought it would, but it's happened a lot quicker. I thought he would have started, you know, average and built into it, but he started the first two games average and then have just gone bang, bang.
Yep.
And he's quickly up to, you know, nearly 700K as well. So that's
I mean, he looked like he was maybe a 60-plus average. I said he could be more because I think he looks like he's got attributes. Now he's chiming into the back line. He's got a passing game on him, and we're seeing him kicking goals.
That was really – I don't give a shit about the goals. What was really really good to see, the first 2 weeks, he was just sort of playing off the cut, not really being involved, even in – round three game. If you go back and watch the try that he scored off Lachlan Fitzgibbon, it was off a kick, and he wasn't chasing through. Like, Teddy, you know, runs through, chases through with the kicks and contests. Miller was just sort of sitting back, and the ball fell down, and Miller sort of, that's how he got involved. Whereas round four, he was sweeping. He was really involved in the set plays, in the block plays, in the sweeps. So that was what I was really, really excited about. In saying that, though, a lot of people are looking at buying him. I would just say look at the Knights' draw and then look at Miller's price and then put two and two together and then work it out for yourself. I'm not keen on a buy. I think if we're looking at our buy list, you're more of a fan of a buy of him than me. I'm just not really a huge fan on the draw. And that's
I'm putting him in there as a buy because he's got a very low break even now. Yeah. And if you've liked what you've seen, you either go this week or you just say he's not. Oh, I'm not having him.
In saying that though, his worst weeks are probably week one and two. So we know that, you know, worst case scenario, it's probably a 50. So it's not awful, but it's probably the reason why I'm not going to end up getting my love affair Greg Marzu is just because of the draw. But on Greg Marzu, could he be 2021's Brian To'o? I mean, he had 11 tackle busts. There's 22 points. I mean, he had a million hit ups. Like, the bloke is what we thought of him. The criticism with Marzu has always been his defense, but I've always been of the opinion of the Knights don't have a squad built to win games on the back of defense. I think the Knights are a side that need to go out and play some really exciting footy and try and win 30-20, not 10-8. So I think Marzu in the side offers them so much, you know, in attack coming out of their own end.
If Gregosaurus goes out and scores well this week, he is in my team.
Yeah, it makes it harder.
Fuck about their draw. I wanted him for round one because I knew he had this in him.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't injured, I would have had him. And it's like you sort of falling into Miller. I would have had Marzu and I would have got a ton, you know. So, look, if he goes well this week, even against the draw, I still think he's going to bust tackles because he's – have you ever seen him with his bloody shirt off? He's an absolute fucking monster.
Pretty big
I'm going to get him in as my fourth piece. In the center wing if he goes well this week.
Yeah, definitely. Number seven. Has Cam Murray turned into Dez Gerbo? You made a really, you know, good song. I'm surprised the record label hasn't snapped you up after that one. But I think you make a good point. Something to worth note, Jason Oliver, a really, really good rugby league writer on Twitter, posted a really good stat the other day about Jake Trbojevic, saying that on last year he was averaging 14 passes a game. This year, he has thrown 13 passes in the first 3 weeks. So his passing's come all the way down. And then I asked Jason, I said, hey, can you have a look into Cam Murray? And I just want to see if his linking has gone up because it's something that, you know, we have watched. And this is, I hate the term never sell a gun. I just think it's so outdated because if you can get similar output for cheaper, then do it. Will Murray come back? Yes. Do I want to sit around and wait a month for that to happen? I don't know. I'd rather just get cheaper. I know that I'm selling low on Cam Murray and it's not a great investment, but it's just, I'm not really seeing it. I think,
He was absolutely off his feet, gassed, off his ass last week, and he was on 60. He updated to 60.
I was on the Supercoach Experience wrap-up show on Sunday, and I said to Savs, like, people are saying, oh, Souths have no forwards. Cam Murray's going to play big minutes. Absolutely. But Cam Murray relied so heavily on the quick play the ball from other people because I think Jai Arrow being out's a huge, huge out for Cam Murray because Arrow is so good at getting to his hands and knees, getting a quick play the ball. Cook goes off the back of that and there goes Murray. No disrespect to Moali or Shaq Mitchell or, you know, Daniel Saluka-Fifita, these kind of guys, but they're not quick play the ball guys. And that's just holding up Murray and his ability to run through and, you know, get quick play the balls and accelerate. The worrying thing for me was, you know, he had a 60 this week. That's fine in base. But the week before, he had a 52. He had a 62, but he had a line break in that. So that goes down to 52. The week before, he had a 41. Week one, it was an 80 with some attacking stats. So it's, you know, two pretty dud scores, one average score and one good score. Yeah. Considering we paid 750K for him, it's just like, it's hard to stomach.
Yeah, it's a worry because I reckon I only saw three runs last week. I don't know what landed on the sheet for stats. And I'd be interested to see how many passes. I reckon he did at least 15 the last week alone.
Yeah, I will definitely chase up that. I'll try and chase up that stat on terms of his link play, because that may be affecting some people and sort of what they're, looking for when it comes to sort of his overall stats. Did have 19 runs, but only for 124 meters. So, we're not getting the plus 8 meter hit ups. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah, 19 runs is great, but that's only 19 points. You chuck in the 50, NRL is in for 57 tackles, but they count flops. I think Fox had him closer to 40. So you chuck in 40 points in tackles and, 19 points in hit ups, and it's just like, cool. They're stats that I can get from a 400K to RF.
Well, that's right. I mean, Preston is doing the same stuff.
Exactly. And, so
forward. So, look, I think people are doing it this week because he's up against an 80 this week, a BE. And you never trade a gun because I still think that he could get an 80 this week. He did it in week one. But I've got to do it. I'm playing Schuster, man, as my starting set of 5'8", and I always had the plan to get Dilbag. So, there's got to be people that you sacrifice, and I think you've got to put a value. That's what you said. It's an outdated process because you never trade a gun. A gun is down. Teddy had a 50-50-60, and if you had pulled the trigger on Walsh at the time that you did and you got his first 100K, you can go straight back to Teddy and make money on it if you want. So you can work at an equation where there is a price on selling a gun. I'm not saying that Murray's done. I'm not saying that you can't hold him. But, we're getting actually some great value out of these cheaper players this year. And then it kind of invites you to take a punt on selling a gun.
What I will say on Cam Murray is if you don't sell him this week, I don't think you sell him at all. Because if he doesn't hit his break even, if he gets a 60 this week, I think he's well and truly bottomed out and you have no value selling him. I know for a fact I've sold him at a shit time. I should have done it last week on this podcast. I said that I was trading him out. But Adam Dewey's sort of diagnosed turf toe really put the damper on that. I feel like you need to put a line in the sand here. You need to either put your flag in the ground and say, fuck it, we're going to weather the storm, or, hey, let's just cut our losses and we'll bring him back. Am I for 1 minute saying that I'm not going to own Cam Murray again this year? No, absolutely not. I probably will. But I want to see, peak Cam Murray come back and then we'll bring him in. Number eight here, you can own Sharks players again. This was why we were so keen on Teague Wilton, why we were so keen on Talakai, why we were so keen on Ronaldo Mulitalo, because with Nico Hines in the side, they're a point-scoring powerhouse. And hell, it wasn't even that left-hand side. Sione Katoa, I think he had a 68. I mean, Jesse Raymond had 120, and Britton Nicora had a 96 or something. Nicora's been sensational this year, and yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with owning any Sharks back. I'm still really keen on Ronaldo, and I think some long-term plans for myself, Ado, would be if I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Miller with the draw, and he has, got to 730, 740, Miller to Ronaldo could be definitely on the cards, but you make a really good point here. Sharks players are assets, and we saw just how much Nico gets everyone involved on both sides.
Yeah, it was a scary watch, and it was those people who had taken a punt on Mulitalo. We saw an okay score out of it. You held on. I saw that he was still owned by people last week. Well done, and Biko back, they're a totally different outfit.
Yeah, absolutely. If they didn't have the bye next week, I'd probably buy Ronaldo this week. It's just, I'm still in the similar mindset of if I'm going to hold off on Hines, I'm going to hold off on other guys as well. Number nine, do we need to remind you not to chase points? Example, A-Ray. Yeah, a lot of people were buying Adam Reynolds last week. There was a couple of other, high-owned guys that flopped that, didn't go too well. I think some people after Harry Grant's big score, they jumped on. And look, Harry Grant's not chasing last week's points because he is the staple. But it just goes to show that not everyone is alike and not all these big scores are going to remunerate. Have a look at why. I mean, Adam Reynolds is not a half that gets through a whole lot of work, and he's not the main half. So, for example, Cronulla Sharks, they have Will Kennedy at fullback. Will Kennedy is very good at running the ball. He's not so great at being a ball player. So that means Nico Hines sits a little bit deeper in attack, whereas the Broncos, for example, Reece Walsh is a very, very capable playmaker. He's very, 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 very capable of getting really bullshit try assists as well that we'll leave.
Don't be salty.
Just have a look at especially your low base guys. Have a look at how volatile they're going to be, and have a look at sort of the team makeup around them and how involved
that's the
they're going to be.
A-Ray was a 50 and a 60, which is not enough in the halfback. Yeah, you got just over a ton. He went 104. And everybody just went, oh, okay, well, that's the move I can do. I think people would have been, well, imagine last week your move is A-Ray and other people took the ballsy move and went Hines, found the money. It's a huge swing. And I just don't think, we talk about can they compete with the main guys. In halfback, there's not a lot that can compete with him. Those two.
And last point, Cam Munster, he makes the Storm way, way better. But does he make Grant better or worse? Obviously, we saw no Munster. So Grant laid on 3 try assists and got a ton. Munster comes back. Grant reverts to a shoveler. I'm seeing a lot of knee-jerk reactions here and asking to sell Grant. I'm not selling Grant. I mean, he's still the best hooker by far in terms of overall points scored, and that will maintain throughout the season. But, yeah, it's not the 90 average people were hoping for. It's probably closer to, say, 75, 77.
Yeah, you definitely see a points reduction on a no Munster because he didn't run out of half a lot last week because Munster slaps him on his thigh when he wants the ball. Doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't mind a chat. And like a good dummy half, he respects an elite playmaker in the game. He gives him the ball.
Also, the Tigers, believe it or not, the Tigers were actually one of the best sides at defending hookers when it comes to Supercoach. So I guess it wasn't too much of a shock. Grant's someone that relies on quick play the ball as well. So they just didn't get forward. I do think Grant does miss someone like a Nelson Asfa-Solomona as well. So when he comes back, I think Grant does go back through the roof. Let's have a look at the host recap from the week gone by. Yes, so 1,348 for the Ramsey Rehabs. Really, really good. Top 1% score of the round. I mean, when you captain... I hate captaining Thursday. I hate captaining late Sunday because that's it. Everything hinges on one game. At least if you captain like the middle of a Saturday, you're like, oh, I've got some more footy to enjoy. I was none from 10, so I was leading no games. Yeah. You look down at your league's leading, it says none from 10, and then I finished on 10 for 10, which is really nice, but it all hinges on one game.
Yeah, you're just sitting there like, fuck, has to pull it out here, or I'm screwed.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, Nico Hines did that fantastically, and the boys went from a 37K rank up to 4,192, and that gives me a points total of overall. Of 4,422 overall points. But, yeah, inside the top 1K, and I'm pretty sure I'm like 150 points outside the top 500. So it's still very, very condensed.
Yeah, it is. And that was a big jumper for you. But like we said, all it takes is a good captain. I finished with the 12-10, and I'll just let you know quietly that if I had a captain, Nico, I would have finished on more points than you easily.
Yeah.
Because I have a good squad. But I'm not going to hold that against you because you frigging deserve it. If you do it, I still had Nico in. I sort of half did what I was supposed to do. Well, not what I was supposed to do. What I was had half the courage.
Yeah,
I finished with a 1,210. I was just glad to get some green arrows. It was 7,000 green arrows for me. I'm into 4,000. Oh, sorry, I'm into 5,412.
You're 30 points. You're 30 points behind me, and there's still 1,500 ranks separating us.
Yeah, so I'm okay with that after 5 rounds. I'm just really glad to get a player in to make a move that worked out well for me. See some good arrows, green arrows on the board. I've got a total score of 4,396. I'm just happy. I'm happy with it.
That's what I've always, and that's the thing. Like, I see some people that have scored, 1,100 this week, and they're thinking, "Woe is me." Like, don't compare yourself to my team, for example. Like, I was a top 1% score for the round. So that's an anomaly. But if you have a bad week and you hold ground, that's a massive W in my opinion. If you have a poor week and you haven't lost massive ranks, that's fine. That's totally, totally fine.
Yep. I've got a bloke who's like, I got 1175, 80, no Hines. And I'm like, well, your team is fucking awesome. Yeah,
that's a positive because when you do get Hines and it's fantastic. And that's the thing, like, if you're going to miss a massive score, fuck, last week was the week to do it because, like, barely any of us owned him, so... that's the thing. On the fantasy side of things, I did bring in Hines as well, but I didn't have the balls to captain him. I think if I captained him, I would have been like top 700 players. So I had to hedge my bet somewhere. I had to be like, look, if we're going all in on Supercoach, I can't go in on both because I'll be a fucking disaster.
What's your rank in that? I'm playing that. But
I'm about 3,000th. So
I'm in 34,000. So I'm going shit ass. I had a win in a head-to-head because we're in a cashy in there, so that's all I care about, really.
Yes, the Rugby League Fantasy Pros, they do like an X Games, And I won that last year, so we're going to try and go back-to-back, hopefully try and be the quote-unquote best Supercoach player and fantasy player combined. That's the goal.
I'm going to try to, but I won't try as hard, I promise.
But yeah, that's the host recap. Really good. And the thing is, mate, and another thing that, you know, we talk about how getting a call right is fantastic. You and I aren't sitting here stressing. We're not thinking, fuck, do we have to make... Where do we find 900K? Because we've already got it. So another thing for you Heinz owners out there, I guess that's a positive that you're not having to worry about making that blockbuster trade. You're not having to sit there and think about, shit, do we do it or we don't? So that's always nice. Like my trades this week were pretty simple. I didn't have to worry about too much. Your take, not mine. I didn't end up getting, you know, any things this week. I was too busy. But in saying that, we will address last week's ones. The reason I didn't get any hot takes this week is because I knew we were going to be spending a fair bit of time. I mean, we're half an hour into this podcast already, and we're not even halfway through. So, last week, the FPL spot says, Cleary to surpass his break-even 161 as a non-owner and someone that was eyeing off buying him. I'm very thankful this didn't come in nearly 100 points under his break-even. So, nice price drop there. Friend of the show, Aman Talk, said, Holmes 100 versus the Titans. That didn't come in, but... Actually, Ada, let's spend some time talking on Val Holmes because he doesn't feature in our buy, hold, and sell. So let's quickly have a bit of a chat about him.
Yeah.
Fuck. He's fine. He is fine. Like, I don't know why people are stressing. I think because guys
69
like...
69 in the center wing, man. Like,
I think guys are stressing because Karaz, Miller, Garrick, they're all flying, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Has Val done what we want him to do? No. Obviously.
He's only lost 57K for the whole year. Like, he hasn't lost huge money at all.
In the center wings, you get 100, and fuck, you make back all the money that you've lost in 3 weeks.
He's gone 63, 47, 67, 69. I ain't punting any high 60s center winger.
Hey, people are paying 750K for Payne Haas, who's getting like 70s, and Val has the upside. So just chill out. I mean, that's just my opinion. It's fine. Like, don't stress.
I just see him as a piece in there. He's going to be top five center wingers for the year because he's so consistent. He doesn't have a bad floor. 47 was his floor.
Exactly. It's not like you're paying top dollar for Alex Johnston, who is so reliant on tries. Like, a bad game for Val is still 50 points. Like, just it's fine.
He's so safe. He's safe as houses. He's a piece in my premiums, and I'm not moving him on.
Yeah. Fantastic. I just wanted to quickly address him. Moz said Grant back-to-back 100s.
Oh, I wish, Moz.
Ado wishes.
Got fucked over. You're 44.
And Cooper Troth, Walsh under 35. Fuck this man. I mean, I'm so sick of Reece Walsh. It's so fun to watch him play, but as a non-owner.
It was 84 last week, but he made over 100K.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's a good move this week. I can see on the traded that people are doing it. People are selling Trell. I kind of said I don't know about that.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Trell's been underwhelming.
We'll talk on Trell because Supercoach Spy put out some really good intel on Twitter just around Trell, and we'll touch on that shortly. Let's move into, if I can get the right sound thing, buy, hold, and sell. You did this week, and you had Paul Alamotti as a buy, and I instantly messaged you, and I was like,
Why?
We're at round five. Who the fuck doesn't own Paul Alamotti?
Well, he's not owned by everybody. So, look, he's got a break even of 14. He's been actually very playable. You know, he's been very good. So I just reckon, you know, if you've made a mistake in there, I mean, who's a mistake, really, that people have gone to start the year? Maybe if you went to Willie Army and he's still not back into that team, he's got a calf injury.
Nah, mate, We want Viliami Vaela. We were all a year too early. Last year we were all hyping him up. We were a year too early.
That's right. He's good. But look, it was a 22 to start. Then it's been a 48, a 78, a 41. I'm sort of saying with Val, he gets 60s and then a 40 is a poor score. Alamotti is a safe play. I didn't play Khan Pereira last week because he's up or down. I didn't play Warbrick. They scored more, but I was still okay with Alamotti going out for the 44. I think the Dogs will find their range, and if you don't own him, I reckon.
Yeah. I want to go off on a tangent the same way we did with Val Holmes. Josh Schuster. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people being like, oh, Josh Schuster, he's fucking terrible. Josh Schuster should have finished the game on 55 points. We can all agree that, right? Like, we can all agree that he... And if he scores 55 points, do you have this discussion where you're like, oh, Schuster's shit. He goes 60, 55, he's near bottom dollar... I mean, the 22, it's just not a 22. Like, I played him and I'm not even fucking worried. Like, it's
I played
fine.
Him too, and I knew that they got dudded, so I don't even see it as a 22. I see it what it really would have been if they'd have refereed
it. I see it as a 60 and then a 55 for a guy that's 200 and something K.
Yeah. Look, I still think he's a buy. He's got still a low break even. I know that it was a 22, which is going to sit in there for a little while, but he allows you moves this week to do great things in your team. A lot of people are saying, oh, I'm worried about his floor. Last week wasn't a floor. It was a 20, but that's not his floor.
Hey,
if the game gets refereed properly,
he also scored 20 in a side that put up 16 fucking points.
Like, yeah, so I think his average is more like a 50, 55, and I reckon he's probably going to go get 50s, 60s, and 70s. I just don't see a 20 out of him if they don't have these absolute howlers.
Yeah. Collie,
he's relying on attack, of course.
Of course you are.
Of all the players in our NRL competition, he's not one I worry about. Can they produce the attack every week at all?
I don't know, man. I feel like people want all their bottom dollar price players to be like 2019 Payne Haas, just come out and average 75. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, they're cheap for a reason. Like, just ride it out. Coley Lemon-Lemu, I had him as a buy last week. I've got him as a buy this week. You know, he's still got another 3 weeks in this Dolphin side. And a little bit of intel because Ado and I are very, very vocal and critical on this. Supercoach, actual NRL have basically told people who want to pay who gets dual positions, which I think is a disgrace because you can start planning your trades out weeks in advance if you have that information. So for anyone that hasn't paid, Lemu-Lemu will be getting dual. He will be getting centre wing 2RF eligibility. So that's something just to keep in your notes because when it comes around six, then it's not sprung on you. We're telling you it now. But yeah, I mean, he scored 58, I want to say, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he's 350.
And he's been good every week. Yeah. I reckon he's, what a surprise. But not a surprise because I actually thought he, once I saw the transition to the second row, I thought he looked really good. He's got the right body shape. He's mobile.
Yep.
I reckon he looks good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now you've got Lachie Miller as a buy. Yes. I don't.
Well, yeah, because you own him and you've enjoyed it.
No, it's just that, yeah, I guess it's the draw. I mean, buy him this week, sure. But I think this week's the last week to be saying buy.
Yeah, well, that's why I've got him in there because if you've liked what you've seen from him, if you don't go this week, he's going to go up too much. And I think he doesn't warrant the price tag that he's going to be on next week.
No, and that's the thing. Like, you're paying the price next week, then coming into the hard draw. At least if you buy it now, yeah, you're still overpaying, but there's still a little bit of room to make. Let's talk Nico Hines because I am still putting my toes in the sand.
Captained him. You brought him in and captained him.
That's the thing. Like, buy him last week. Don't buy him this week. Like, you pull your team.
Well, no, because in one game of if Nico went out and scored a 50 this week, because he's going to be the highest captain this week.
Yeah, which I'm fucking hate.
So you're going to go with everyone else. It's not going to hurt you at all this week. So I just reckon what he can do to you is more scary than what he won't do to you.
The only reason
if you plan on having Nico for the rest of the year, you might as well just do it now.
Sell Murray
down to Preston and do it.
The only reason why I am not keen this week, if he was the only clear-cut captain, then I would say yes, because his value comes in captaincy.
I wish I could play you my rap on Nico. I've played it on my podcast. I did a rap.
Do you have it saved?
I've got it right here.
Well, then play it. Just go.
Oh, all right. Where is it?
Yeah. Oh.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Enjoy, everyone, for the next 2 minutes.
Oh.
It's got a long intro. My first foray into rapping.
I ain't no rapper, but I'm gonna spit this rhyme. You won't get rookies and did it bringing Hines. Big boy pants is what you need in, son. So bring him in and don't be dumb. Throw the C on and double down. For goodness sake, you grade A clown. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico Hines. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico. It's Nico Hines.
That's all I'm giving you. But there you go. That's a wrap. I just reckon you just get him in because, oh, look, if you're going to go into a buy, you know, like we all knew that Turbo was going to have the buy in round two and we were willing to pay that price. He was at a good price, but we just saw Nico get a 180 last week. He looked absolutely amazing. He could do it again this week. Maybe not a 180, but even if he went 120, let's just say you got a 120 this week, do you think it's worth it? Because you're going to hold him for the rest of the year. Yeah, no, you're not going to sell Nico once you bring him in.
I'm not saying that he's a bad player. Fuck, please. All I'm looking at it is, like, you're going to have to rip your team apart to get him in for a week. And...
Well, is it ripping it apart, though? Because we've got underperforming Cameron Murray, and you've got these Prestons and Fords, hot goods. Oh, everyone owns hot good. But if you could downgrade Murray to Preston, for instance, and it got you Sam Walker, people are going, on the most traded out is Sam Walker. Not a massive jump.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only exception. But, like, I'm seeing people, like, discuss trading out, like, Tino or Fafita. Or like Carraz, it's not worth it. But the only thing is though, like if he was the only clear cut captain, I would get behind it more. But we've got Turbo versus the Knights, we've got Cleary versus the Raiders in bunch of misfits.
Two good captains. If you don't have to break your team, that's what I reckon. If you don't have to break your team, and that's kind of talking Sam Walker.
Murray is the only quote unquote premium that I would sell him for this week.
Yeah, so I just reckon if you get him in this week, I reckon he's going to ton up. I don't think there's nothing else, but he tons up.
We'll do a couple of rapid fire ones. Preston, if you don't have him, it's a poor score, but he's still going to make a lot of money, so get him in. On the holds, we'll rapid fire these ones. You put Cam Murray here. I think this one comes down to personal mentality. I think it comes down to whether you're going to bite the bullet and just say, fuck it, we're going to cop the price rises, he'll come back. Or you're selling to Hines. It's the only world that I would sell Murray for. In saying that, I'm selling him for other reasons.
That's right. I'm going to sell him too, but you can hold Murray. The scores haven't been shit.
Oh, no. People, and myself included, have probably made it out like he's the worst fucking player in the world, but just more so for the value they were paying for him and there was others. Like if 2RF was dead and these cheapies weren't performing, then no one talks about Murray, but the fact that we've got I could rattle you off five or six names that are cheaper that are doing the same thing. Tohu Harris, really, really unfortunate for owners here because I feel bad for owners because you're like, fuck, I really wish I'd prefer him to be out.
That would have made the decision easier, and I am an owner. He looked like he was absolutely in all sorts last week. Couldn't even play it the second half, but he's been named, and it's the last game of the round.
Yeah. And Trell, I wanted to touch on Trell because, as I said before, SC Spy posted on Twitter that we know Trell picked up a knee knock a couple of weeks ago, and since then his tackle busts have been down historically, and to the point where last week he didn't even record a tackle bust, which is just not Latrell at all. Yeah. So he is obviously not 100%, and if you're a non-owner, I'd be very much watching this situation because I think we're going to be able to pick him up at a very, very cheap price when South's really click into gear. If you are an owner, though, however, I'm just holding. I can't get behind selling Trell.
Has he ever played a game since his debut where he hasn't had a tackle break?
Oh, it's like so un-Trell. Moving into the sell category, we've got Adam Dewey here with his turf toe. In saying that, though, if you did hold last week, he scored 54 against Melbourne, which it's not terrible.
Not the worst.
Dane Laurie has been
not even 5'8", haven't they?
Yeah, so, and Laurie's been dropped for fitness reasons as well. So I think Dewey's spot at fullback safe. I know there was some issues about him taking minutes, but
he's close enough to Dillbags. And I know Dillbags has a hard matchup this week, but their draw is about to open up big time.
Yeah,
maybe hold him for a week.
For a week, definitely. And Dillbags got a pretty high break even. I think he's 110, 112. So one more price drop out of Dillbags and go from there. Tricky Trindle, named on the bench, move him on. Tanner Boyd, this one you can go either way. He's been plodding along. He's made back the money that he lost. He's breaking even, but it's not what we wanted from him. He's playing like a traditional half, and he's sort of closer to the line rather than out the back. Sell Ruben Cotto for the exact same reasons as last week, injured out for a while. And sell Luke Garner. Notice we haven't mentioned Zach Hosking. If you want to go out and buy Zach Hosking, I understand. I totally understand. Me personally, however, I'm going to wait a week. I just want to make sure that Liam Martin and Luke Garner don't take it, but you're pointing your finger at me, so I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to wait one more week because it's not a... I would hate to recommend to people to just go... look, I jumped on Walsh. I did that on my podcast. I came to realize... I was saying to people, don't jump after week one. And I did it on Walsh, and he was on nothing at halftime. But you see, it's the Panthers. Garner is the big name. I think... there's a chance that Garner... What's Garner out for this week?
Niggles, I think.
Niggles. Also, it's not unheard of that he comes back in next week. So,
oh, that's I'm not good to me,
but he is one of those ones that falls into the circle of wait for one more week.
It's a weird one because if you send me your team and say, "Hey, I'm buying Hosking," I'm not going to say no, don't do it. But at the same time, I'm not going to say, "Yeah, go out of your way and buy him." So it's one of those. It's a Nico. It's a Nico all over again. You need to work out how much.
It's a risk reward, and that's why people are like, people have said I'm bringing in Marju. And I'm like, okay, yep, do it.
Oh, yeah, but I can see why. I wouldn't do it. It's not my cup of tea, but I can definitely see why.
Yep.
Let's talk captains because they were pretty crucial last week. Last week we had Nico Hines as the second best option behind Harry Grant. This week Hines leapfrogs. He's back into number one. Nico Hines, the best captain option. I cannot wait for him to score 35 this week because everyone buys him and everyone's captained him. I'm pretty sure 20% of people have brought him in this week, which is fucking huge.
That's huge. I mean, people are like breaking team to do it. I want to captain him though. I mean, this
I will.
A big score. They're at home.
I will also be doubling down and captaining him.
If Nico doesn't go above 100, I will do a shoey.
All right,
raw eggs on the potty.
I have a question. Obviously, you're
three raw eggs. A shoey.
I'm assuming you're vice captaining Turbo like any sane person. Yes, what does Turbo have to score for you to take the loop?
Look, this year I'm probably with Ben Murdoch, Mozilla, and bloody Moali. I reckon I sort of put the figure at 130 plus.
Yeah, I was thinking 140. I was thinking 140.
If it's under 130, I don't even think about it.
It's just because I'm planning for a Ben Murdoch, Mozilla 12-point affair. Like that's what I plan for. So yeah, it has to be 140 for me, but it makes it very interesting. In saying that, though, Turbo is my number two captain option. He is my vice captain. He'll be Ado's vice captain. Pretty clear he plays early in the week in Mudgee against some bottom feeder. I can't remember who. But some bottom feeder. Number three, we've got Nathan Cleary against another bottom feeder team.
Well, we're in all sorts too, mate.
But Cleary, I don't want to say he's back because 77 is still well below what we know he can do.
That field goal, that's something, mate.
Clutch.
He should have done the ice in your veins on that. I know they lost the game, but it's a pity the Raiders.
Shout out to Junior Paulo for making that game interesting.
Yeah, having a couple of weeks off. But, mate, some of these games to start the year, as an NRL fan, man, I'm just like cheering for shit. Because, you know, someone was like, oh, why don't you buy all the other bobbleheads from, you know, the other teams? I'm like, why would I? I fucking hate the other teams. But I've just enjoyed watching some moments from other teams this year, and that was a great moment. Even Moses, man, like, signed the contract and then to kick that field goal, he would have gone home and absolutely fucked the shit out of his missus that night. I'm the king of the world. He would have said, what's Gutho's nickname?
King Gutho.
King Moses.
Yeah,
Lord Moses.
Yeah, we had a couple of really good games. I think another really good stat getting around on Twitter. In the first 4 weeks, there has only been 69 minutes, of actual gameplay where the lead has been bigger than 3 tries, and that's across every game for the first 4 rounds. So we've had a really really tight. We've had a really really tight. Number four, I've got Teddy. Now the reason why I've got Teddy is because Parramatta fucking leak points to.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fullbacks.
Yeah, I mean, if you still hold a Teddy, it's kind of like a way to burn back these Nico people. Everyone's going to have Nico and captaining this week. Teddy is going to – he's got a big score around the corner because they've been – the thing about Teddy, he's had some bad scores this year, but while I owned him, I was like, damn, he was so close. And he could have got 120 this week, 130 this week if all those passes stick. If Suoli'i, you traitor, if he passed the ball, you know. So I don't hate it.
Yeah. Parramatta leak points. I think they're averaging 90 points a game against fullbacks. So Teddy's in there, as is Reece Walsh. yeah, it seems like he is the new flavor of the month with the scorers, and he's getting the unicorn Walsh.
Oh, you're salty,
I was so fucking salty when Herbie didn't get that try assist. I was like, are you actually taking the piss?
I always give it to the fullbacks.
Oh, but like, and then I put like a literally like exact representation of when Nathan Cleary didn't get it for the Brian Toto try, and then Crichton did.
Nathan Cleary not getting something, no one's going to have a cry over that.
Oh no,
this year, I think actually we're sort of I can actually get a feel for it now. A lot more is going to these centers, and I know that in that case it would have been Herbie, but they still always find these flavor of the month. Walsh is the flavor of the month, man. Well,
that's what I was saying. Like, and I think I said this to Savage on the wrap up. Roles reversed. Reece Walsh is Tom Chester, and Herbie Farnworth is Val Holmes. Who gets the try assist?
Yeah, that's right, Valentine. Yeah. Look, it is one of those things we have to take into account, and I know it sucks. But you get these popular players, and they'll find ways to give them.
Oh yeah, I was just sitting there like fucking seething. I was just like, God damn it! Like, because I loved Reece Walsh as a buy, and that's the thing. Like, I was not against Reece Walsh, but I just loved Karaz that little bit more. And I was like,
okay, Karaz in his own right.
I mean, he's fine. I'm not upset with Karaz, but it's just like I went Karaz over Walsh. I really want to see Karaz get 100 and Walsh get 3. So yeah, definitely don't hate Reece Walsh at all. They're the top 5 captains. Just to recap: Hines, Turbo, Cleary, Teddy, Walsh in that order. We have 5 names and only 2 positions, which is we're getting back to the spine players of alt. Let's do trade talk and make sure I've got the rights. No, I don't have. Okay, we'll just press this one. I should change my middle name to Boost because we're going again 3 in a row.
You're a fucking animal.
You know my opinions on them. I just think they're overrated as fuck.
We'll talk to you in the buys.
In saying that though, like I sound like an addict. I'm done. I quit. I promise. I don't think I've got any issues to fix up now. I only had a couple, so we should be able to sit pretty tight. In saying that though, I can't wait for 4 players in my team to get a HIA or get injured, and we're fucked. So I'm going to go Ryan Sutton out. I've been waiting to do this one for fucking 3 weeks.
I would question that one from you as a Raiders fan. I was just like,
no, we said in the preseason, like when TBJ was out, we're like, oh yeah, he was good at the Raiders. He got a really good PPM.
But we just said,
bro, like, what the fuck is Serraldo doing? I'm sorry, what the fuck is Serraldo doing? Like, he's naming 2 utilities, not playing them, and Sutton's still only getting fucking 45 minutes a game. It's just like,
that's right. It's weird. It's weird stuff.
So I think the pick was fine on paper, but yeah, it just hasn't materialized. So Sutton is out for Joe Tarpany. Now, we have money for Payne Haas, but we're going to go with Tarpany, and I'll explain why shortly. Cam Murray, he is out. I know we said this last week, but I promise everyone, barring any late in the week injury news, Cam Murray is gone, and Jackson Ford does come in. We were going to do that last week, but we opted against it.
Well, you know, that is the perfect description. I have not let go of Murray lightly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's not a light let go. You don't do it so easily.
But I think Jackson Ford is that guy.
Yep, I reckon so. I've had him since round one. And I want to take advantage this week of having some play. I had Preston from round one. I had Ford from round one.
I never give Sangster credit for much. But shout out to Sangster, because I'm pretty sure he was pumping up Jackson Ford when he was only like 2% ownership.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him from his Dragons days, and I thought they absolutely butchered. They knifed him for using him on his talent. He looks great.
And Webster loves him. Webster absolutely loves him. And then the last trade, because we are activating our third boost, is Tanner Boyd out for Cleary. So Sutton, Murray, Boyd for Tarpany, Cleary, Ford. Now, the reason why we have gone Tarpany over Haas is because I'm looking at the price difference between Hosking and Dury, and I need about 100K behind me. And by going to Haas, it only leaves me about 70K, and we're relying on a Dory hat trick to get us there, and I really just don't want to do that. So Dory's break even still 11. We'll get one more very small price rise out of him, but then we're looking at Dory to Hosking next week.
That's smart. It's smart because you're thinking ahead, and you're not just thinking about this week's trades, you're thinking about next week's.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I said to you, Haas and Dory versus Hosking and Tarpany, it's not close.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, when I thought I was on the news of Harris Tohu, Haas was my guy because you look at his scoring for the year, it's been exceptional.
Oh, and
the
not, just
decline
because
is over.
Just because I'm not buying Haas doesn't mean he's not a Haas. Yeah, just because I'm not buying Haas doesn't mean he's not a buy. If I had the money, I'd be getting him in a heartbeat.
Well, obviously, I watched the Raiders very closely, and even though we were dog shit last week, I felt like Tappany was starting to get shitty.
Still scored 67. Haas played phenomenally, got 74. Tarpany went under the radar and scored 67.
Yeah, but that, I felt like there was a point in that game where he got shitty and he started to bust tackles and look for the offload. I reckon he's going to come good.
Before you name your trades, I want to plug my own shit.
Plug it.
I obviously did that post on Payne Haas, on the Ramadan post. He had his first game of the Ramadan cycle last week and was phenomenal. I went back and had a look at all of his games during the Ramadan period as a proud Muslim man. He is exceptional considering, you know, what he puts his body through. His scores actually have increased in the last 4 years. So, yeah, jump to my socials, have a look at that if you were concerned.
Much respect too.
Over on him or me?
Him. Well, you.
For the fact that they, you know, no food, no water from sun up, sun down. Haas obviously trains during the day as an elite athlete. I think I read a story last year. I think they played Parramatta up in Northern Territory, and Haas was training during Ramadan in the Northern Territory. No food, no water.
As far as a specimen goes, I don't reckon there's anyone like him in the game.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, what are you doing, my friend? Because you had Tohu, and you obviously were looking at trading him out, but now he's named. Yeah. It leaves you in a really awkward spot.
Yeah, well, I'm not trade happy like you, so I am in an awkward spot. I think I'll probably sit on it, to be quite honest, but I'll be absolutely scroogied if he doesn't play, because who are you going to move him to? His last game, and I'm not going to move him to anyone he's playing against.
And that's the thing. So, like, if you know Tohu's fine, you don't trade him, but it's like, shit, like, I just don't know. He's the last game in the round. It's
such a conundrum because my bench is Moali and Murdoch Masilla.
Whoa. Oh, so you have Tohu in your front row.
Yeah,
oh, Grim, you have shit creek with no paddles, my friend.
I'm up shit creek. Look, if I was doing a boost, I was going to do Tohu Harris to Haas. I was going to do Brandon Cheese Smith down to still got Sonny cheese. Luke. And then I was going to do Murray to Dillbags.
You still got the cheese. Far out.
I've still got the cheese. So those were my if I do a boost trades.
On that one, are you a Luke man or are you a Hands man?
Hands? Well, is Hands going to keep getting games once Lane's back?
I don't know. Like, Hodgson's not an 80-minute hooker these days, and Hands looked good. Like, he offered them a fair bit.
Well,
so.
He looks great. He's got great hands. He looked good. No, I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to get a run once Lane comes back in. It's worries. There's worries. So, look, I just reckon that Luke, he's out this week. And so, if I do the trade of Brandon Smith down, I get good money and... The money actually in doing that allows me a thought of Marju next week from El Amodi if I wanted to do that. So am I going to be like you and do boost? I boosted last week.
Attaboy, attaboy. I will. I had Brew on.
Are we going to go together?
Brew last year was so anti-boosts, and I fucking convinced him. I'm going to do it to you too. You're going to get influenced.
I reckon Haas in... I have worries about Tohu, and I don't know if it's a gamble that scares me because he couldn't even play at the second half last week. I'm so surprised he was named.
Yeah, it's gone from an ACL test to an MCL to he's playing.
To just a couple of
he's Matt Dory. He's Matt Dory'd us again.
He's Matt Dory'd it. I mean, look, I love Tohu. I mean, trying to say this week doing two trades, you know, is I think it's good business. So look, Brandon Smith down to Sonny Luke gets me the bank. To go Murray to Dillbags. And then I've got over 100K left to get Alamotti up to Marju if I want to do it next week.
Awesome.
So what do you think of those? I think that Sonny Luke, when he comes back, Brandon's averaging 34. I reckon he's probably more like a 45, maybe 50.
I reckon
that's probably Sonny Luke.
I think the thing with Luke is, though, like we had concerns over his PPM, and like we saw that when he didn't get the attack. Look, I want it to work because, fuck, I'd love to downgrade Reid Marnie. But, yeah, I mean, I think your trades are fine. It does hinge on Tohu, which is not ideal. But let's answer some questions. First one comes from some fucking nobody called Adriana Saurus. What kind of fucking name is that?
What a fucking loser. Why are you dinosaur themed?
Would you move on from Taruva early if it was necessary to get a gun? And obviously you and I were chatting about this off air, and I think this is a question that does go to... You know, to branch on a lot of people. I know we've recommended Alamotti as a buy, but you could also recommend he's a sell. my team value is not as high as some other guys, but I'm of the opinion if you can lock in some fucking players you're not going to have to worry about, like Fifita, Cleary, Hines, Turbo, like if these guys don't go up in price and I lose money on them, I don't care because I'm holding them all year. So yeah, if you're moving on someone like Taruva, who has been fine, like he's been good, like he's getting 50 points, is he
going to break even this week of three?
Yeah, yeah. You know? Obviously, like he's not your classical sell, but if he's your only way, like for example, someone like a Warbrick or a Cam Pereira, like these guys have massive, massive ceilings. They can just make a bunch of cash really quickly, and they're the ones I would hold on to. With Taruva, like if he's your route to a Garrick, a Mazu, a Miller, a Carraz still, like if he's your route, yeah, I understand because you're going to hold those guys all season long, whereas come around 27 and you're picking a side when the coaches have named half their teams out. Are you like loving the, or even like round 26, grand final week, are you loving picking Taruva or would you rather pick Garrick? You know, so that's the thing. Like obviously, yeah, a break even of three does not scream sell for Taruva. But if he's your only route to a gun, yeah, mate, I definitely think that it's viable.
I mean, I want Dillbags because I'm playing Schuster. So my main question is, do you cull him or do you cull the cheese? That's who I want to cull. And I feel like the cheese could get up and running and score.
The cheese. Sort of, I don't know.
Be a decent backup when Harry Grant goes off to Origin.
Yeah, I really want the cheese to work because he's a Kiwi and he'll be fucking golden through the bye period. So I really do want the cheese to work. I want that made. Yeah,
so I'm just asking you, who would you sell out of cheese or Taruva if it got you what you wanted?
I just reckon you should have captain Nico and not have a fucking issue, mate.
That's no help.
No, well, look, I'd probably sell cheese.
Yeah. I mean, look, Sonny Luke's going to come good. I reckon he's going to be 40-50s once he comes back. He does rely on attack, but they look shit when he's not on the field. Shitter than when he's on the field, in my opinion. So I'll get him in. Let's just go Sonny Luke.
Lovely. Second Solution asks, might have a cracked phone, so I need to pull this up. The Second Solution asks, how far out do you start planning for the big buy rounds? Would you be hesitant trading someone that you know will have the buy in round 13 / play Origin? I think Payne Haas is a really good example of this because all preseason we were basically saying guys like Harry Grant and Payne Haas, after round 9, they become kind of null and void for the next 10 weeks. It's tough because that's another reason why I've gone Tarpany, because he's not going to have the Origin affection. He does have the jewel as well. What are we in now? Round 5? Your big buys come in round 13. So you've still got 8 weeks. I still think that's enough time. Like if you're looking at someone that doesn't play round 13 now, I think you've got enough time. If we were in round 7, round 8, different question.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon there's a time where you start thinking about it. And I do. Once I start getting to those 7, 8 sort of rounds, I'm like, who's playing the first buy? Look, you know, we're all, you. Do you own Fifita?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so we're obviously going to sit him because it was a 90 plus last week. He just gets points so easily. We're going to hold him.
And he's not, so for Fifita, so I sold Teddy for round 4. I sold Cleary for round 3. The reason why, obviously, I'm not selling Fifita is just because of the break-even more than anything. Like, yeah, I want Teddy back. I want Cleary back. But I could get them back cheaper. I don't think you're going to get Fifita cheaper for another month or so.
That also comes down to it. And I will have a point where I start to look at the trades that I make. You know, look, I reckon I feel more comfortable relying on the cheese than I do Sonny Luke when Harry Grant's out for Origin and over those buys, because there's going to be a lot of times I'm going to have to play my backup hooker. Yeah. You know, but I want to do it because it's going to give me money for Marju next week. So that's why it's the move for me this week. And I'm going to have to play Sonny Luke if he doesn't make enough money to get me up to someone better.
Yeah.
So that's the price you pay.
Also, I just wanted to quickly note, you know, we're in round 5 now. So I'm pretty sure the free trial of Supercoach Gold for a lot of people that don't pay for it would be running out. And a lot of people are probably asking, oh, like where do we find break evens? For your new Supercoach, for your experienced players out there, you know exactly what I'm going to say. For your new Supercoach players, just Google NRL SC Stats. Fucking wonderful website. I use it daily. They have a section on there with the break-evens on there. It might not be straight away. It might not be Monday after lockout, but it generally is done by sort of Tuesday afternoon. They all put them up.
Is there a way to pay, give this bloke some fucking money?
Yes, like, you can definitely donate to the guys, which I highly recommend.
Anyone who's a serious player has always used it. So yeah. I'm going to go find. After this, I'm going to go give him some money, probably because I've had 47 beers.
But yeah, so new players, NRL SC stats, Google it. Break evens are on there, you know, breakdowns. I'm sure you listen to a lot of podcasts that refer to base or base power or evading stats and like how do you see those. Everything's listed on there. Wonderful website. Off on a bit of a tangent. And the last question we have today is from Data99. Are people writing off guns too early with mass people selling the likes of Cleary, Murray, Tedesco, Munster and Toe? In the long run, you'll burn trades to get them back in. Munster, I think, is the anomaly here because he was supposed to be out for 3-4 weeks, so I'm happy to write him off. But Cleary, Murray, Tedesco, Toto, I mean, I don't know who's selling Toto. People think everyone has to fucking score 100 every week. Like, Brian Toto scored 57 points and did nothing.
Yeah.
Chill. Now, Cleary, Murray, Tedesco. The reason why I have sold all three of these guys, I started with them and sold all three, comes down to so early on in the season, I want to be generating as much cash as possible as I can. Would I sell those guys in round 18, round 19? Absolutely not, because I want to be setting up for the run home. But so early on, I have always been a very aggressive trader. I'm sure people have worked that out already. I'm using boosts heavily to fix my team. I want to be generating cash. I want to be fixing mistakes and getting better guys in. Ado is a prime example of this. He traded Teddy early for Walsh and got absolutely hammered. Teddy has lost 120K or whatever, and Walsh has made fucking piles. So it goes down to that. It's a 300K price swing. But in saying,
you make a financial move, yeah.
In saying that, though, Walsh has also been the best fullback in terms of total points scored. So it's worked out for you there. I mean, Murray to Ford. Yeah, look, people say, oh, you know, they're going to score the same points. Absolutely. But it's what the money does elsewhere. So if I can go from a back rower scoring 60 to a back rower scoring 60, which then upgrades a halfback from, say, 55 to an 80, you know, that's where the value is. Yeah, selling Murray for Ford isn't gaining me points, but it's gaining me money to upgrade elsewhere.
Yeah, we start with these guys like Murray and Cleary and hope that they come out and brain it from round one because that's what they've done in their history. But if they are below that sort of history and are below that glory highness that they are of a player, they start to get financially like they look like a risk. And it's like playing the stock market. You've got to just go, okay, I'm going to sell Murray. I'm going to do that for a couple of weeks. I mean, look, even holding off on Cleary just for him to get a bit of a drop, that could be the difference in your finances to do something that you want where you're getting back again. Also, it's all about decisions.
Also, what I would say is try not to have an ego when it comes to your trades. I did that in 2021 where I just put my feet in the ground and said, fuck it, Nico Hines is not coming in my team. Munster will come back. Pappenhausen will come back. He'll never come back into my team. It burnt me really bad. So if you make a mistake, rectify it. And yeah, like I bought in Reid Marnie. I thought he would be the second best hooker after the first two rounds. It hasn't worked yet. I'm looking to move him on. Don't be so stubborn in your trades. Just because a player is a gun in the years gone by, if they're not producing, then move them on. Don't buy into this narrative of never trade a gun. In saying that though, if Cam Murray comes out and scores 95 this week, fair play to him.
And I'll never say to someone, when I sell Cameron Murray and he goes and scores a 95 this week, I'll say, you're a fucking legend. You know, because you held him. Yeah. He's a gun. You never trade a gun. But all those other guns that we traded, that it was a right move. I sold Teddy, you know, I've won so far. But, you know, sometimes you've got to hold your nerve. And if it pays off when you hold your nerve,
I also think look at it as a bigger picture. Don't just look at it as X player out for Y player in. Look at it as to why you're doing it. So, for example, Jackson Ford, he's not exciting, but he lets me go Boyd to Cleary. So it's bigger.
Boyd to Cleary, man. Like, there's fucking upgrade and a half.
There's bigger things than just the one trade you're looking at. Let's move into our tips for the week. Mate, for the first 4 weeks in a row, I have gone four from eight. You did the exact same thing until last week. Well, you finally nudged ahead of me. You got five last week, so you are now one tip ahead of me this season.
I did the Raiders too.
Of course you did. All right, let's go the Chooks. The Chooks are $1.50 favorite up against the Bunnies. Up against the Eels.
Yeah.
I'm going the Eels. Give me the Eels.
Well, the Eels were good last week. It was a rousing win. It was like one of those sort of confidence-building wins. I think Matto back made a big difference.
I think if any of you guys play Draft Stars or Game Day Squad where you have guys that like cards that rely on points, Regan Campbell-Gillard this week with no Paulo, I think it's going to be fucking huge.
I'm tipping the Roosters.
Oh, spicy.
Okay. Yeah, I reckon at home they're going to be good, and I reckon this could be the game. I was happy that you mentioned it. I reckon this is the game that Teddy stands up and says hello.
If Teddy finishes with 140, I would not be surprised, and well done to those who held. Yeah. I am going the Parramatta Seals. The Milk up against the Penrith Panthers.
We're not the Milk anymore. We're Forklifts.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, we're Forklifts. Oh. Canberra Milk's moved to Sydney. Fuck. We're not the Milk anymore.
Up the Milk.
Anyway, I'm tipping the Roos, the bloody the Panthers. Who were the premiers for 2 years in a row?
You know, that one with, like, the greatest halfback in the last 25 years. Oh. You know, that guy, that team.
Yeah. Well, I'm tipping them.
Yeah, as am I. Not much more to say. Another great game. Fuck, we've got two good
games.
What a ripping
game.
The Bunnies up against Melbourne. I don't think I've ever seen Melbourne as, like, $2.50 betting underdogs in many years.
Huge.
I'm going the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, I am too, actually. I thought last week they hit a confidence. They got a lot from that. It was an important day. They delivered on that big day. I reckon they grow from that this week.
Slog fest through the middle. It finishes 8-6. Christian Welch finishes on 5 offloads, and he gets 70 points.
Oh, do I have him? I sold him.
Well, you're hoping not then. The Red V up against the Finns. Get your Finns out. The Dolphins are actually...
Oh, you've skipped the Manly Seagulls. I would too. Fuck.
Okay, Manly versus the Knights. Manly.
Yeah, Manly too.
The Finns are the underdogs in this game, which...
Surprises me.
Yeah. I mean,
look, the Dragons... They were good for 40 minutes. The Dragons were rubbish last week, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bounce back this week.
They were good for 40 minutes, and then they fell apart the same way they did against the Broncos.
I'm tipping the
Finns. Do we have a new Faders? The Dragons, you know, they were in it with the Broncos, and then Reece Walsh tore them apart. They were in it against the Sharks, and then Nicho Hynes tore them apart. Who's going to rip? Anthony Milford. He's going to wind back the clock. He'll put on 70 points in the last 10 minutes, Supercoach points, and...
Well, I want to say O'Sullivan's a big out,
yeah,
isn't
he? It's
huge. He's been so good for them. But what I like about them is they're a defensive team, the Dolphins. I reckon they hold their nerve better, and that's something the Dragons have done very well.
Yeah, I think they played really well. Considering the occasion and considering, you know, a Pax Uncorp.
They're in that game.
They played, and you got to remember, Tessie New played on one leg the entire game. I mean, Cody Nikorima went down very early. So they were backs against the wall. And yeah, I think Wayne Bennett's built a really, really good culture there up the Finns. The Brisbane Broncos up against the West Tigers. Fucking hell.
Mate. This is going to be 100 points. It's going to be 80-0.
I want to have a look. In terms of betting markets... The Broncos are more of a favorite than the Panthers are against the Raiders, and more against Manly and the Knights. So the bookmakers think,
well, hey, you know, I'll tell you why, because the Raiders made the 8 last year and got to the second week of finals. And the Tigers, where did they finish last year?
Mate, hey, I don't think it's ever possible to finish lower than the spoon, but
yeah, well, so that's why
we're going to do it. We're going to do it this year. I'm tipping the Broncos.
Yeah, same.
The Cronulla Sharks up against the New Zealand Warriors. Hashtag let's go on Warriors. Hashtag up the Waz.
Yes. Look, they're much improved, the Warriors. Are they? They're much improved. They're in the top bloody four.
It looks like the Bulldogs got the wrong Panthers assistant coach.
Well, looks like it, doesn't it?
Webster's really good.
Yeah, and he's having a great time there. Why wouldn't you? Look, they've recruited well. They look good. Tamari Martin is out.
Yes. So Volpin comes in. Yeah, Volpin comes in. Tamari Martin has a concussion, I'm pretty sure, with the 11-day stand down.
How good was Sean Johnson last week?
Oh, mate, Sean Johnson. I want to quickly say, like, Sean Johnson, I won't pick him as super coach. He could be fucking $2 and I wouldn't buy him. But just to see him with a smile on his face, you know, after the game, he did the video for the Instagram. He just looks so happy. Yeah, I'm really, really glad for him. In saying that, it's all going to come crashing down, and Nicho Hynes is going to put on a masterclass.
Yeah, I'm tipping.
We've talked them up so much.
I know, I'm talking the big win for the Cronulla Sharks, but if you're a Warriors fan, let's go on Warriors. They're my second favorite team.
Are you a let's go on Warriors, or you are up the Waz?
No, I'm a let's go on Warriors, 100%. Or actually, the Bunty Society.
Oh, yes, shout out to Anton Poser with his 10th mention on the podcast this year. The last game of the round.
One of my fave peoples in the NRL Supercoach community.
Absolutely. One of the last games of the round. The Bulldogs up against the Cowboys. Fuck, both these sides need to get some momentum happening.
Yeah.
I've got the Cowboys. Oi! Okay, I've got the Cowboys.
I got the Bulldogs. I reckon at home, after, oh, look, they were so close to winning that game last week. I tipped them. I thought they could get the job done over there. They sort of seem to be a team that makes mistakes 1 week and then they rectify them the week after. And I can't believe you're tipping the Cowboys. You fucking hate them.
No. It's funny. It's funny when, like, I have Supercoach agendas and they bleed into Twitter and people who don't follow me just think I have agendas against the team. One, I don't dislike the Cowboys, but I'm a Tigers fan. We got fucking rorted last year and then the 2005 grand final. But, I mean, look, I got to give love to my man Todd Payton, former Tigers cult hero. So, yeah.
I reckon at home they sort of – I reckon they – right the wrongs of last week, the mistakes they made, and I reckon they have a bounce back.
I'm looking forward to this game.
They grow a lot from that crowd.
I'm looking forward to this game because I think it's the last game that we don't see Scott Drinkwater, or it might be one more week, and then we see El Trap Water back. My man,
people will bring him in too.
Please do so. All right, that has been round five done and dusted for the Dual Position Podcast. You have been blessed with two very, very happy coaches this week. Yeah, thanks to some big moves. Hopefully they pay off. I cannot wait for the Supercoach curse to strike this week with everyone buying Nico Hines and he gets a 41-point performance.
Well, so be it. You'll have no boost to fix this if he goes shit.
Too true. I've been the SC Whisperer, coach of the Ramsey Rehabs, joined by SC Adrianosaurus, coach of the Rapana Bananas. Yeah, we will see you same time next week. Up the Waz.
Love you. Let's go on, Warriors.
Let's go on, Warriors. Up the Waz. Whatever your preference is, we will see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.